Today, the gas problem that will crush Australians. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. Last week, the ACCC released their Gas Inquiry 2017 to 2030 interim report, and it makes horrifying reading. It's such a monumental stuff-up over a couple of generations, it's hard to believe the corporations did not deliberately set out to maximise profit at the expense of ordinary Australians, while successive governments were complicit, either because they dared not confront big gas, or they were scared of the consequences via sovereign risks of changing the rules, or they simply were ignorant and led by the nose. All of this has stoked inflation via higher electricity prices to the point where now the government is using more taxpayers' money to hand support payments to households. You can't make this stuff up. Mind you, the ACCC report, which was actually very detailed, manages to skate round this core issue. Of late, the government has made minor changes to overhaul regulations, which in theory allows it to intervene and limit exports of LNG. But in practice, though, little has changed. And unlike in Western Australia, where there is a reservation for domestic supply, the East Coast is, well, stuffed. The bald fact is this. Despite being one of the world's top three exporters of liquefied natural gas, LNG, Australia has struggled for years to ensure adequate supply for domestic consumption. East Coast Australians in particular are exposed to the global price of LNG, which also translates into higher marginal costs for electricity as well. Data from the Australian Institute shows that more gas is used to power the conversion of the fuel to LNG for export at 7.3%, compared with 2.6% for residential use, and 6.2% is used for gas power plants to generate electricity. So all up, 82% of the gas produced goes to export. The ACCC says that Sydney and Melbourne and the most populous states, New South Wales and Victoria, already face seasonal shortfalls over the winter months as older gas fields offshore are depleted. Supply constraints in New South Wales and Victoria are usually offset by using piped gas from other states, including Queensland. But the latest data shows that the critical pipelines that should be carrying domestically reserved Queensland gas south are running far below capacity when they should be filling significant expanded storage down south for winter, just as every other nation does, by the way. And yet, we see, based on the data to the 15th of January 2025, yes, that's peak summer, that the only pipelines anywhere near capacity in the off-season are those shipping gas to China. That's the APLNG, the GLNG, and the CGP. Why is that? Well, because big gas can make better profits by selling Australian gas offshore than piping it south. The ACCC report found Australia's east coast is expected to have a shortfall of domestic gas supply from 2027 unless new gas fields are soon brought online. And so they say that LNG imports would add flexibility and secure the supply of LNG. But I think LNG imports are frankly mad. Yet, in December, construction on Australia's first LNG import terminal was completed at Port Kembla in New South Wales after being developed by billionaire Andrew Forrest's private venture, Squadron Energy. In the press release, member for Wollongong Paul Scully said, as ageing coal power stations close, to support the transition to more renewables and to support manufacturing New South Wales, this terminal will play an important role in addressing gas supply on the East Coast. Located in Port Kembla's inner harbour, the project has supported about 200 jobs during construction and injected $27 million into the regional economy. The terminal has the capacity to supply around 500 terajoules a day. That's enough to meet all of New South Wales' gas needs on a peak day, or half of Victoria's peak day demand. But let's be clear, shall we? This is gas bought on the international markets which will ensure high gas prices into the future. And what of those future prices? Well, analysts are a bit divided on the extent of further price rises from the current levels, but RBC, possibly at the bearish end of price forecasting, says in our commodity price deck update published today, we've revised our 2025-26 European gas price forecast with an 18% increase in our 2025 forecast to 11.5 million metric British thermal units, or MMBTU, versus the $9.85 previously, primarily driven by higher near-term pricing amid colder weather, as well as incrementally tighter balances into summer relative to our prior expectations given the storage withdrawals. By the way, MMBTU is an acronym for metric million British thermal units, and it's a unit traditionally used to measure heat content or energy value. It's widely associated with the measurement of natural gas in the energy terms globally. So there you go. But despite this increase, they say, we are 20% below where the forward curve sits for 2025 and even lower in the summer months. For 2026, they estimate moves up 7% to around $9 MMBTU, and they remain 28% below the forward curve given their expectations of incoming LNG supply. Their forecasting is predicated on a wave of new LNG supply, the biggest yet, to take global exports closer to around 440 MT in 2025, 480 in 2026, and 620 by 2030, which will be almost 50% above 2024 levels. Now, this is purely from projects currently producing and those already under construction, with further growth from projects not already sanctioned but at various stages of pre-development, giving an unrisked upside estimate of exports closer to 900 MT by 2030. The recent startup of projects in the US marks the start of this wave, with material additions in the coming months via projects like LNG Canada Phase 1, which is 14 MTPA, mid-year startup, Qatar North Field East expansion, 32 MTPA, phased ramp-up, with the first cargoes expected in late 2025, and the Golden Pass LNG, that's 3 times 6 MPTA trains, the first train to start towards the end of 2025. Whilst our storage modelling does show Europe exiting winter at a lower level, around 30% less than recent years, incremental supply from both recent LNG startups, as well as those due to start up in the coming months, drives our confidence in Europe to achieve 90% storage ahead of the November 1 target. That's, of course, before the northern winter starts. Add to this the tail risks from the war in Ukraine ending, and absent a significant extended outage in Norway, we continue to see the summer 2025 TTF contract at around 14.5 MMBTU as elevated, and see downside to prices here, they said. So a conservative estimate is around $9 MMBTU in Europe, but that lands in Australia at around $17 per kilojoule. But, and here's the shock, that would be 25% higher than today's already disastrously high gas price. And that in turn would translate into higher electricity prices, perhaps even 50% higher than the current levels. Now, as I discussed with Robbie Barwick yesterday, this to my mind is one of the greatest scandals governments in Australia have created for ordinary Australians. But yet again, there are no signs of bold action in the form of gas reservation, just a muddle in which people are being taken to the cleaners, even as the government offers more help, quote unquote, on electricity prices at the expense of taxpayers. And of course, the manufacturing sector gets squeezed more because the cost of power is just so high. You simply cannot make this stuff up. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.